Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to Education Talk Radio. I'm Larry Jacobs, your host, and I thank you, as always, for listening to our show. Our listenership is way up. Thank you for spreading the word. As you know, you can listen live at blogtalkradio.com/edutalk, but more people than ever listen to the archives. Tremendous numbers coming in these days. You can learn our full schedule and see every show that listen to every show that we've done and see a full list of them at our website, which is www.educationtalkradio.wordpress.com, educationtalkradio.wordpress.com. And on behalf of myself, Larry Jacobs, and the staff here, we really, really thank you for your listenership, for your support, etc. It's just been great, and I just want to say thank you. As we end the merry month of March 2011, we have one more show this month, tomorrow. But today, okay, we have a very special show. But before we go into who we're going to be talking about, which is this American Association of School Librarians, I want to say that today's show is happily sponsored by Follett Software. I love these guys. They're in McHenry, Illinois, where my kids were born. Follett provides the educational community with open, integrated technology and content solutions that engage and inspire next-generation learning. You can learn more about Follett on their website at www.follettsoftware.com, F-O-L-L-E-T-T. Great company, great people. I heartily recommend you go over to FollettSoftware.com. We have a really good show today, and today our show features the AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, and I believe we have two guests. I see one is on the line. I'm going to bring that on. I think who's on the line? Is it Darren or Nancy right now?
Hi, Larry. It's Nancy here.
Hi, Nancy. I couldn't tell from the area code who was calling, and Darren hasn't called in yet, so we'll wait for him, but I'm going to introduce you. Nancy is the president of the American Association of School Librarians, one of my favorite groups out there. As you know, Nancy, I love libraries. I use my home here in Swampscott, Massachusetts. I'm always at the library using them, and I encourage my kids and everyone else to use them as well. How are things in the world of school libraries these days, Nancy?
Well, like a lot of things nowadays, we're being impacted by the downturn in the economy, unfortunately. But, you know, as you know, Larry, I've been going around on this vision tour, and I'm highlighting great school libraries that are really keeping it going, you know, despite the economy. They're doing all they can to provide great service to the kids in the schools.
Every librarian, and I know a number of them, every librarian, and these are personal acquaintances, every school librarian that I know has done more to make their school better than anyone else I know. They are, it's just amazing. Tell me about the World Vision Tour.
Well, I just flew back yesterday. I was in Beaver, Oklahoma, which is in the Oklahoma Panhandle, and it's a very isolated area. You know about Beaver?
No, I do not.
Well, they're the cow chip capital of the world, and they have a cow chip contest that they've been having for 40 years, cow chip throwing, which is
like
really
frisbees,
cool.
Like frisbees. Are they like frisbees?
Well, they're cow chips. They're cow dung that's dried.
Yep.
And this goes back to the pioneer days. So I think they are.
Are they flattened or are they round, like cow dung, I should say?
You know, I don't know. I have to do some more research on that. I don't
we'll
really
that
know
out,
what
man.
They. I do. I'll use my librarian skills to find out more. but you know, here this little school was out in Beaver. And
Is it an Indian school or is
it was not. It's just a very small town of 1,500 people. The school is kindergarten through grade 12 with 400 students, and they just have a terrific school library program. And you know, when the state association picked that school, they said, I know it's going to be really hard for you to get to it, and we apologize, but this is just something that you have to see. And
wow.
It was terrific.
Can I ask where you flew into to get the Beaver, Oklahoma?
I flew into Amarillo, Texas, and then I had to drive like 3 hours to get to Beaver.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good. I'm so glad you go to these little schools. Darren's on. I'm going to bring Darren on here in just a second. Hold on. Darren, are you with us?
I am here.
Stay there for
good
one
morning.
Second. Let me finish a thought with Nancy, and I'm going to give you the introduction you deserve in 2 seconds. Okay? Nance, I really admire you going to all these different schools all over the country, okay, to check out what their librarians are doing. I want to say it again. You know, and Darren, you'll love this, my feelings about it anyway. You know, times are tough out there. And the librarians, to me, and I've said this before to you, Nance, they're the fulcrum of the school. They are the ones that everybody can count on for reference, referral, for help, for guidance. For everything you can think of is in that library, okay? And also technology, I might add. And when I was a teacher, I'm telling you, the librarian at our school, Kay Jennings, she was the best person in the school, and she was just such a reliable resource. I always have a good feeling about that, and I can't say enough, Nance. Where's your next trip, Nancy, on the world tour?
My next trip is Cherry Creek High School outside of Denver in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, when are you going there?
About 2 weeks from now.
Good for you.
Yeah, I have a little
place.
Bit of
I'll
a,
be in
of
Denver
a respite.
In the fall. Yeah, well, that's good, actually. And I'll give you, Cherry Creek is a fairly affluent, I believe, upscale suburb. That's a very a big swing over from your visit to Beaver, Oklahoma.
I know, it is. It what's really great is I'm seeing, all types of situations like this. And I'm seeing rural, I'm seeing urban, I'm seeing suburbs, I'm seeing wealthy schools, I'm seeing schools that, you know, are very poor. So, yeah, Cherry Creek on April 12th.
Wow, good. And they'll love your visit. And by the way, Nancy, are you the head librarian? You're certainly a librarian of Florida State. Are you the head librarian over down there?
No, we have a program here that it teaches people how to be librarians, and I'm a professor,
right.
And I direct the school media portion of it. I teach people how to be school librarians.
You're doing a good job, Nance. We got one on the line here, by the way. Darren Tanaka, you there, my friend?
Yes, I am here. Good morning.
How are you? And by the way, I have to say this so everybody knows where you're calling from. Aloha, Darren.
Aloha. Good morning.
Aloha, Darren. Good to hear
Hi,
you again.
Hi, Nancy. Good to hear you again. Yeah.
Now, Nancy Everhart is the president of the AASL, and with us on the line, I just want to give you the full introduction here, is Mr. Darren Tanaka. Okay. Are you the head school librarian?
I am the only
school librarian
at Kailua L.
All right. Good enough. The school librarian at Kailua, am I right, Kailua?
Yes, very good.
Kailua Elementary School. And I want to ask you a question, which is a Hawaii Department of Education public school located in the city of Kailua on the island of Oahu. And by the way, two things I have to say. Darren, you taught me to put the apostrophe between the O and the H in Oahu.
Okay.
I never knew that was there until you wrote it out, so I thank you for that. Okay, and B, my question, just before we get started on all this, is Hawaii Department of Education, are the islands broken down into individual districts, or is it all just one district?
Oh, no, it's one Department of Education school system. There are separate districts depending on the island, and then each island has little pie wedge kinds of sections. I felt like I had to write that down because there's also a very large independent school population, and I just needed to make that distinction that we are a public school.
You're a public school. Well, what is the name of your particular district?
My district is the Windward District. So it's
Windward
it's,
District. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know what the population was, and I saw you wrote Hawaii Department of Education. I just wanted to ask that question, but there are individual districts on the island, individual superintendents, et cetera, right?
Right. So if the island is divided, sort of like a pie, we're on the the right-hand side of the pie, on the east side of Oahu.
I've been there. I've been there, and it's beautiful. And, man, you have picked a gorgeous place. I think it's even nicer than Detroit.
We're very blessed to live here. Yes, we are.
Yes, you are indeed, and I'm glad the tsunami didn't do too much damage, thank God, and everybody's fine out there. And mm-hmm. let's talk about what you're doing out there, Darren. You're the librarian at the Kailua Elementary School. Describe the school to us, first of all. How big is it, et cetera?
The student body is it varies. It fluctuates between about 350 to 400. That's what it's kind of been around the last few years. We are located right in the middle of Kailua Town, so we're surrounded by businesses, and there's neighborhood, you know, like a block or two away, but immediately around us is business. So we're not, I guess, like a typical elementary school where there's, you know, we're smack in the middle of a neighborhood.
And actually what you say is important, because people have the idea that it's all outdoors and everybody's hula dancing as you walk the kids into school, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's a suburb, it's a little city like everywhere else, right?
Right, right.
And like everywhere else, you have the same challenges and aggravations. Nance, I want to ask you, visited Darren over when you were on one of your tours, am I correct?
Right.
And when were you there?
I was there in September. It was Darren
go.
Was the second school I visited on the tour. I just get
and you
started.
Asked Darren to be with us. He must have impressed you quite a bit.
Oh my goodness! Yes, he certainly did. Everybody loves Darren at the school. The teachers and the parents and the
even
students.
Even I love Darren, and I hardly know him.
Well, you should meet him. Because he just has transformed that library. One of the things, one of the teachers told me that I made an impression on me, he walked into that school, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago or maybe a little later, and, I mean, it was literally a dump. It had just been deteriorated, and this library was not a library that was amenable to elementary students. It had metal shelves up to the ceilings. The kids couldn't reach the books. And I had no – and the teacher took him aside and said – patted him on the back and said, good luck, buddy. You know, here you are. And there was no
wow.
evidence of that when I visited. I mean, it was a cheerful place. There were kids' projects all over the place. It was you know, bright and cheery, and the shelves had been lowered so that the kids could access all the books. There was, you know, a bank of computers. He had more stuff in that library. I'll let him tell you some of the other stuff that's
yep.
in there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank
Darren,
you,
Darren, I have to ask, where were you trained to become a librarian?
I received my master's in library and information science at the University of Hawaii, Manoa.
The Rainbows.
At Manoa. Right, and Dr. Violet Harada was there. There were. I would. This is. I'm not going out on a limb. This is the absolute truth. All of the professors that I had classes from were absolutely outstanding. I've never had an experience like that where
wow.
every one of them challenged, you know, challenged myself personally, professionally, in different areas, you know. But the preparation
mm-hmm.
that I got from that program was just outstanding. And I wanted to add into the what I walked into about 6 years ago. It was in really bad shape. That's absolutely true. There's the transformation that happened, though, was preceded by another school librarian, Mrs. Nozomi Fong. She's currently at another school, but she came in a year before I did and really started to move the ball, you know, as far as cleaning out things and whatnot. And she had to leave a little bit early, so she unfortunately wasn't able to finish what she started. So when I came in, there was already some momentum building, so I needed to give credit to Nozomi for getting it going. And the other big thing that largely I think people aren't aware of is my administrator, Principal Lanelle Hibbs, absolutely outstanding in terms of supporting what's in the best education interest for her school. She allows us to come in with just these whatever kind of ideas. You know, we do our homework and we show her what we have planned and whatnot, and then she, you know, if it's in line with the school's vision, she just says, go for it. And then, you know, the support is there in terms of opportunity and financing and time, and it's just without Ms. Hibbs supporting it, none of that stuff would have happened. And then, of course, technology coordinator, Greg Kent, he and I worked very closely together. We looked at the space and designed what would best fit the technology needs as well as the, you know, the changing information needs, custodial staff. It was this huge undertaking over the last 6 years. It didn't just happen, and it definitely was not just because of me. I needed to get that out there, you know.
Well, thank you for saying that. Let me say thank you, Mrs. Fong, for getting it started, Mrs. Hibbs for being a terrific administrator, and Greg for helping Darren all along. That's terrific, and I'm glad you brought up all their names. That's great. And that shows the importance of the team effort. One thing I just want to ask you before I ask the next question, Darren.
Sure.
Is the school area where you're working in, is it a very affluent area? Is it a typical suburban area? Would you call it an inner city school? You were describing it's like a city around there. Just kind of describe it, because that paints a good picture for the people who are listening, and then we can go into all the things that you were able to accomplish.
Okay. We are a Title I school. We have a lot of over half of our population receives some kind of financial support from the school. Even though we are in the middle of Kailua Town, Kailua on Oahu is generally viewed as one of the more, you know, above in terms of above average in terms of income and affluence and whatever, but our school is actually we're not the richest school in the neighborhood. You know, we don't have that going for us.
It's basically middle class, just for the sake of this conversation. That's what I was driving at, because when you paint a picture for someone, you want to paint a picture of all these accomplishments against the actual setting, which make them just so much more terrific than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all right, now tell me about a typical week at Kailua Elementary.
Oh, a typical week.
A typical week. Just sum it up. What goes on? What do you do as an elementary school librarian?
Well, the first job I have is I'm part of the school leadership, so I'm involved in a lot of the planning and decision making groups. So there's obviously those kinds of meetings, and because I'm in the leadership role, a lot of the school activities also take place in the school library. So it really does vary from week to week. There's the obvious meetings, there's celebration things. I'm a teacher as well, so we have weekly classes from preschool all the way through grade 6, and then Wednesday afternoons and whenever we can, there's training for the adults that are on campus. The lessons take up the majority of the time, and then beyond that, there's the enrichment program. I guess it would be most similar to like a GT program. The advanced students that we have in grades 3 to 6, they come to the school library and another classroom twice a week for we have robotics, Lego robotics training going on, and also the aquaponics science.
Wonderful.
that's going on. But there's
bustle
of activity.
The folks at Lego in Kansas are good friends of mine.
Oh.
So I'm going to pass the word that you mentioned them, because they'll really appreciate it. Their robotics
are
fantastic.
So we've got there's a regional competition for First Lego League in Hawaii, and we've sent students the last two or three years, and it's a new program that we've got going, but we believe that it's really, really important that kids do the engineering, problem solving, critical thinking practice.
Well, just as long as they don't invent a robotic librarian, you'll be out of a job.
Oh no, that'll never happen.
Okay. They couldn't replace you with a robot. Am I right, Nancy?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Could not.
No matter how
it.
Good the Lego robotics are.
Right.
Okay, I'll make sure they know that you have a great feeling about them. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right, now I asked you to send me some questions I could ask you, Darren, and we're going to have
okay.
a little fun right now. Okay?
All right.
Are you ready?
I
know the kids aren't listening. It's too early in the day right now, but you have to play this back as you give this answer. I want to find out who Graham Salisbury is and what is his Calvin coconut.
All right. Graham Salisbury is an award-winning children's author, and
okay.
He is actually a Kailua Elementary School alumnus. He's a former student.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So he came to a visit a couple of years ago, and we got to talking about things, and we have some shared interests in music. He's a musician. Music is a big part of my life as well. I mean, I've got a little cover band that I play with on, you know, after hours and whatnot. And we were just kind of talking story as dads and whatnot, and he mentioned this project that he'd always wanted to do, a book that was kind of based on Kailua Elementary School, because he has a lot of really great memories of it coming here as a kid. And that was kind of it. And then we had a bunch of casual conversations, and I kind of threw in, you know, hey, wouldn't it be great if there was a librarian character, you know, some, just kind of seeing what would happen. And he thought it was a fantastic idea. A couple of months later, he calls back and says, are you sure I can use your name? So I said, yeah, absolutely. Thinking that
absolutely.
it wasn't going to happen until I actually saw it on paper. And then, you know, a little less than a year later, Graham's calling me up and he's saying, hey, here's an advanced copy of the first book
wow.
in the series. And check out page 72. So I have, I'm not a major
book,
character
book,
or whatever, but he's
called,
it's called Trouble Magnet.
Is the book called Trouble Magnet? Is that the first one?
That's the first one, right. So he's,
you
doing a little cameo there for us.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
wow. You're mentioned in Calvin Coconut.
Yeah, it's not
Trouble Magnet.
I mentioned as Mr. Tanaka, the school librarian, so that's close enough for me, man.
Oh, man, that is really cool. Yeah, and, you know, now, does Graham still live in Hawaii?
No, he's based in Oregon, but he comes back to Hawaii, and I say back even though this is not his, his main home. He comes back several times a year, and we're in contact via email and whatnot. And it's just great. He's this really really amazing guy, and when he comes to talk to the kids, he's such an engaging storyteller. Even just, you know, it's not just writing great stories. He's just able to capture you, and we sit there for it doesn't feel like hours, but he captures us for hours, just telling us these funny stories about when he was a kid. And the neat thing about Calvin Coconut is, even though Calvin, the main character, is he's fictional, any one of my
right.
kids could be him, you know. And the
wow.
things that Calvin does, my students do, and it's just really, it's surreal to read a story in a book, and then also have this sense that, hey, that's us, you know, and this is our school,
wow.
and yeah, fantastic, fantastic thing that's going on with that series.
It is, and actually what you just said is kind of interesting, because kind of interesting beyond what you just said, because what you just said, and if people read these books, and I'm on the Graham Salisbury website now, and mm-hmm. he's very prolific, I might add, has a lot of teacher guides and all that
mm-hmm.
sort of stuff, GrahamSalisbury.com, but his books, like you're saying, are painting a picture of kids on Hawaii, which I think would be something that everybody would enjoy. You know, people don't, it's far away from the lower 48, you know? And
right.
People will think.
Yeah.
You know,
and also,
we have one picture in our minds, and I think it's time to paint the real one. That would be fun. Calvin Coconut is a trouble magnet, the Zippy Fix, Dog Heaven, and there may be more. Plus, he's written some other books, and all
right.
of them have teacher's guides, et cetera.
Right.
GrahamSalisbury.com, a graduate of Kailua Elementary School, right?
Yeah, there you go. So if you go to CalvinCoconut.com, there's actually a photo
yes.
of our little Kailua L Calvin Coconut Club, and it's a whole website dedicated to the book series. So we're beginning to make
CalvinCoconut.com. Okay.
Yeah, we're beginning
wow,
to make
cool.
friends with people on the continental U.S. as well. There's a character in there who's from Texas, so I've recently been corresponding with four people who are interested in getting the Texas kids talking with the Kailua kids, and it's just really neat.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I don't know if the commercials run on Hawaiian TV or whatever, it might be network, I don't know, but the one with Ellen Page where she walks into the school in New Brunswick, Canada, and they're talking to the children via the internet in China. And it's like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, so somebody who we have on a couple of days ago, and they said quite simply, we want to make the classrooms bigger and the world smaller, and that's what we're doing. It's just great.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just great. You tell your buddy Greg Kent, your technology guy, you want to get all that stuff going, et cetera. You're a music guy,
yeah,
too, Darren Tanaka. Right?
He and I are.
Nancy, did he play anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, he has a ukulele, and the library has the variety of musical instruments in it, and it's the only library that I've ever been in that has a disco ball and a fog machine.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's the only one. I don't know if I'll ever see another one either.
Oh,
wow.
Every library should
have
a fog machine and a disco ball.
Now, what's going on? Why do you have that stuff in the library, Darren?
Okay. When I first got hired, I found a beat-up old little acoustic guitar and took it outside, sat on the bench in front of the library. I was just kind of strumming along. Kids are walking by, introducing myself, and then there was like a crowd of like 50 kids, and they're just standing there. I'm just trying to have a conversation with them, and they're just stuck there. So it immediately hit me that, wow, these kids are hungry for, you know, for the arts, yeah, for fine arts and music and whatnot, and kind of poked around and asked if there was a music teacher and whatnot, and that was one of the positions, like, I guess, which is kind of a disturbing trend, is that a lot of the, I guess, what are considered special classes or special projects, those are the ones that get cut when the budget shrinks.
Of course.
And our school didn't have a music teacher, so I thought, well, I can leave the guitar out and just let the kids play with it and just sort of see what happens. I did a little experiment with them, and you know that one guitar was the magnet for kids for like weeks. So I talked to Ms. Hibbs again, and I asked her if it would be all right if I could acquire some instruments, and she kind of made, you know, that, okay, sure, you know, just we'll see what it is. And so I got some drums, and I got some, they're electronic drums, so you can put headphones on and the kids can bang around it. And we've over the years kind of amassed this little stage of gear, and you know, Rock Band and those video games that simulate music came out. And the kids just love playing those games, so they come to the library, and they act out their rock star fantasies, and it's just joyful noise for like 20 minutes at recess. You know, that's why it's there. It's to kind of make that environment fun where they can explore and discover, you know, what maybe they've got something with a musical gift, and if the library provides it, great.
Yeah, the library needs to be fun. I have to say, make a comment, and Nancy, you're welcome to chime in here. I know you will. My wife was talking, she's in the education business as well. I can't remember who she was talking to, but this educational consultant had gone to China on a big tour and just was fascinated by how well they did. And when she asked a few of the big administrators in China what they were doing right, they said, well, one of the things we think you're doing wrong is that you're cutting the arts. And we feel that the arts, okay, be it theater, be it music, be it whatever, or literally painting or whatever, that rounds the child and it forces them to think. And the arts beget mathematics, beget history, beget science, and it makes a person far more interested in all these core subjects that they're learning. And the last thing that should be cut would be the arts, because that's what makes the whole thing come to fruition. Nancy, do you have anything to say on that? I bet you're in agreement with me.
Definitely, and there's been a body of research that actually shows that as well. So they're absolutely right.
So why don't we show that research to these state legislators everywhere? That's what I'd like to know.
They don't seem to respond to things like that these days. You know,
I just don't get it.
I don't either.
I just don't get it. They all want well-educated people, and they want well-rounded people, and then they do the crazy stuff that they do without even understanding the industry and the kids that they're affecting. I just don't get it. Darren, you really did good promoting the arts within your library at Kailua. That's fantastic.
No,
I'm finding that in some of the other schools I'm going to, too, is that the school librarians are really picking up the slack for a lot of the programs in the arts that have been cut. And not only the arts, I mean things like science and social studies. The kids aren't getting those programs in some of the schools anymore because of the focus on the standardized tests in math and English. So one of the schools I was in, the librarian said, you know, I am doing a lot in social studies, geography, things like that that kids aren't getting anymore. When they come to the library, they can learn about those things with me.
It's frightening. It's frightening what's going on out there. It's just frightening, to me. That's why we need guys like them, people like Darren out there to make sure they understand it. And that, you know, really, it's hard, Darren. I mean, I know you don't feel isolated, but you're far away from all this stuff here. You know, and it's a small community on an island in the middle of the Pacific. Look how great
right.
you're doing, for goodness sakes.
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
really and truly. You know, and to us here on the mainland, it's very far away. You know that.
Yeah, yes, we do. That's actually
you know?
A great, kind of a great connection to the aquaponics gardening that we've also got going on.
I was going to ask you about that.
Aquaponics. Yes. Aquaponics, right. So
aquaponics.
Aquaculture, growing fish for
food. Well, yeah,
food.
Let me just say that you're in Hawaii. You have to have something with water in the library.
Yeah, that's raised some eyebrows, too. I kind of hesitated myself, and we didn't ever think that it was going to be a permanent thing. It's not. It's being housed there temporarily, but it's been working out just great, so... It may stay for a while more. We've
good.
Another teacher, fourth grade teacher, Kehao Nakamoto, Greg Kent, my buddy again, and myself. We went to a summer workshop and we learned about this system of farming, where you have the fish pond that circulates water through grow beds, hydroponic kind of grow beds, but instead of adding the standard chemicals to feed the plants,
right.
You use the biological supply that comes from the fish, the
mm-hmm.
effluents, I guess would be the nice word, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We feed the fish great food. Yeah, we feed the fish
yeah.
great food, so that when we consume the fish, you know, we're getting really really healthy protein, and the effluents goes into the grow beds. Bacteria does its magic, and the vegetables grow. And we have this self-contained system in a very small footprint. So that's important. In Hawaii, we were talking about. At that conference, the idea of food independence or food sovereignty, and that the majority of our food and supplies come from a boat. So the question that was raised was, what happens if the boat stops coming for some reason? We would be, we're done. So when we heard that, immediately we said, gosh, we don't know how we're going to pull this off. We've never done it before, but it's such an important concept to expose the children to that we have to try. So July, we started building some gardens. Two of them are in the classrooms, and one is in the library. And we've been growing the fish for about 8-9 months. There's been lettuce and taro and rice and all kinds of neat things growing in there. So it's pretty amazing. Great connections to science and social studies, like you were saying.
Exactly.
You know, bringing a very live teaching model in there. And people walk by, and the first thing they say is, whoa, look at that. You know, you don't expect to see green things and, you know, trickling water and whatnot. And
Is the whole setup outside or is it inside?
It's right now it's inside. The grow beds are 2-foot by 3-foot trays. There's three of them.
Okay.
And there's a 40-gallon pond, like a feeding trough, kind of a heavy plastic pond.
Right.
10 feet by 4 feet.
Okay.
You know, is the footprint for the entire system. Because it's indoors in the library, we've got a couple of grow lights on the top for the plants. But the ideal would be that it's outside. We've got beautiful skies. We've got fantastic weather all year long.
Well, you do.
That thing should
be
outside.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Darren, but people do go to Hawaii for vacation.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
I heard the weather's pretty good. I heard the weather's pretty good out there most of the time. I just want to ask, what kind of fish are they? How big are the fish?
They're tilapia. They're cultivated tilapia, the orange-pink variety. they grow, the ones that we have now are about a pound.
Wow.
That's, maybe 10 inches plus. Kind of really, really heavy-duty fish. In Hawaii, we have tilapia in pretty much every stream and lake, and it's actually considered kind of like a rubbish sort of fish. So when in Hawaii,
right,
when
well,
we say,
you,
oh, we're growing tilapia, the reaction is, ooh, can you eat that? But because they're cultivated, they're tasty. They don't have that mud.
Well, they are, and I don't want to insult your fish, but my wife makes a stir fry using tilapia and lime and all this stuff. It's absolutely mm-hmm. unbelievable. It's delicious.
However, we do
not raise our own tilapia.
Yeah, there's something special when you raise them. And
I have to ask this question. Do you actually eat the fish that are in there, or are you just using them for their fertilizer value right now?
Right now, we have the ones that are at the school. We haven't tasted, but I do have a system at home, and we've had those, and they're wonderful. You know, a little bit of flour.
Well, the only
salt,
thing I can say to you in that regard is don't name them.
Oh yes, that's the rule.
We're eating fluffy for dinner, so you don't want to do that.
No names. They're clearly for food. Yeah.
Wow, this is great. We just have a couple of minutes left. Darren Tanaka's on the line with us all the way from Kailua Elementary School. He's the librarian at Kailua Elementary, which is on the island of Oahu. Nancy Everhart, who visited Darren as in her role on her vision tour of these great school libraries. She is the president of the American Association of School Librarians, one of my favorite groups out there, doing more for education than... It's unbelievable what the librarians do. Nancy visited you in September.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Darren, how has that impacted you? Because I want people to get excited when Nancy comes a calling.
All right. It was a tremendous honor hosting Nancy very early on in the tour. We didn't have any idea of what to expect, and it was just a great experience for our school. It really pulled us together as a community, the teachers, the staff, the PTSA, the students, our local affiliate, Hawaii Association of School Librarians, especially Deb Lum, the president, retired librarians, the UH professor, everybody came and pitched in to kind of make this thing happen. And it was a very proud moment for our school, very humbling experience for myself. The best part, I guess, would be I'm very big on identifying what works good and celebrating that, and also identifying what's not working so good and doing something about it, because you can't just bury the stuff that doesn't work. And what this visit did was it exposed some areas that we needed to work on, and now we can address them openly. And the bottom line is it really impacts student achievement, which is why we're doing this in the first place. We can be a better school community. You know, children for years are going to benefit from this. So that was a great, great thing. And the other thing that I didn't expect was there's so many people that have been calling to come and visit and want to talk to me about what I'm doing and things. And it's been a neat journey for myself. I have to do a lot of reflecting on, okay, why am I doing this? Because they're asking, you know, and how is this important? And some things not so good, and we have to change. And other things are like, oh yeah, it is actually working very good. It's a great validation that that we're on the right track.
You are on the right track, Darren. You're a wonderful librarian, Nancy. Thank you for bringing Darren with us onto our show today. With you onto our show, I appreciate it, Darren. I hope teachers understand that now you can go visit Darren when you visit Hawaii. It's now a tax deductible vacation if you're a librarian, right?
Call me first before you...
That's Darren Tanaka. And by the way, my wife and I will be staying at your house for 10 days.
All right.
Next time we're on the islands, okay? Darren, thanks so much, my friend. It was a pleasure having you with us.
It's very good to meet you too, Larry. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. And Nancy?
Thanks, Nancy.
Nancy, you are wonderful, as always, and I'm going to make sure that you be coming on again hopefully in June with another great librarian or whatever you would like to talk about. Is that okay?
Oh, I would love it, Larry. I would love it.
You are welcome.
A couple of the other elementary schools I've been at, and I've captured some of the words of the students, and I think they describe not only elementary libraries, but all libraries. Some of these schools I go to, they have students doing, you know, basically like testimonials. And when I was in Wisconsin 2 weeks ago, there was a little girl said she goes to the school library to solve problems and to have fun. And I think that sums it up about school libraries. And also in Oklahoma, another little girl said yesterday, to use my imagination. So I think those three things sum up elementary school libraries and all school libraries.
And Darren, you're tapping into that imaginative learning side of the kids. I just think the whole thing is wonderful. I have to leave you both now. We're running out of time, but thanks to both of you so much.
All right. Thanks, okay. Larry.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Larry.
I'll talk to you both soon. Bye-bye. Okay. And that was Darren Tanaka, my new friend from Kailua Elementary School in on the island of Oahu. You can find him at the Kailua Elementary School on the island of Oahu. Nancy Everhart is the president of the AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, and she is down at Florida State University where she's a professor of library science. I want to say that today's show was sponsored by one of the great library companies, by the way, Follett Software. And Follett wants to know, does your school have an innovative library program? You listening, Darren? Does your school have an innovative library program? Would you like to win free products and resources for your library? Follett has launched the $100,000 Follett Challenge, which will award prizes to innovative library programs that demonstrate the connection and student performance. The Follett Challenge is open to all private and public K-12 schools, and the winners will be announced at the AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, meeting in October. Submit your entries by June 1st, 2011. To www.follettchallenge.com, www.follettchallenge.com. Go there, submit your entry by June 1st. Your library just might be the winner of the $100,000 Follett Challenge. I hope it is your library, okay? Darren, you did great. I really appreciate it, Nancy. You're wonderful. Next time you're on, Nancy, I want to talk to you about some of the major changes that are going on, and, of course, I hope you'll bring another library guest on. They're always, I love them dearly, okay? Tomorrow, we're going to have my friends from SIIA, the Software and Information Industry Association, my friends Karen Billings, Tasiwa Mapendera, and also my pal from edweb.net, Lisa Schmucky. We're going to be on talking about gaming. That show airs live on the 31st of March, 2011 at 10 a.m. Today, we thank Follett again for sponsoring the show. We thank Darren Tanaka and Nancy Everhart from the AASL for being our guests. This is Larry Jacobs from Education Talk Radio. Learn more, listen to everything we do, educationtalkradio.wordpress.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.